What we're going to do tonight is we're going to kind of expand upon what we did last time. Last time we met, we spoke about the three major themes in Az Yashir. We spoke about the idea that Hashem is in control of the world, that Hashem brings revenge on our enemies, and finally that the Jewish people accept upon themselves Hashem as the king. And I'm going to show you inside the Pesukim. Okay, we're going to go through inside the Pesukim. I think there are a total of 17 Pesukim in Az Yashir, 18 Pesukim in Az Yashir. And we're going to go through all 18 Pesukim and show you how they all fit together within these three themes. The opening Pesukim, the first two Pesukim of Shiras Hayam, are an introduction. It's not really the main thing yet. It's an introduction to the praises over here. So, Az Yashir Moshe B'nai Yisrael, Es HaShira HaZos LaShem V'yamru Limor. Then Moshe B'nai Yisrael sang this song to Hashem, and they said, the Shira begins now with its title. HaShira LaShem Ki Ga'o Ga'a Sus V'rachvo Ramah V'yam. That I sing out to Hashem, because Hashem is mighty, and a horse and its rider he threw into the sea. And this introduces the concept of the reality of Hashem, that he has total control, right? Hashem, imagine that you picked up a baseball and you just threw it across the room. That is what it was like to see Hashem throw the horse and its rider through Yamsef. We don't really imagine so much, but when we sit at the Pesach Seder this year and we talk about the miracles of the sea, that's literally what it was like. Like Hashem just like picked up a horse and its rider and just like flew like 100 feet in the air and like went into the water. That showed just the total control of HaKadosh Baruch Hu over the entire world. He could do whatever he wanted. It showed his Gevura. And that is foreshadowing category number one, which we'll talk about soon, that Hashem is Ish Melchama, that Hashem is in control. Then we say, Aziv Zimraska Vayihi Li Lishua. That we talk about Hashem's power, and I sing to Hashem that Hashem saves us. And this is the title of the Yesod of the power and the revenge of Hashem in punishing the Mitzrim. That's the second section of Kriyas Yamsuf, that Hashem brings revenge on the Egyptians. And then finally, probably the most famous line in Shir Sayyam, Zekeli Va'anvehu, Elokei Avi V'yarom Imenu. This is my God and I will glorify him. This is the God of my fathers and I will raise him up. And this is the title for the third section of the Shira, which is Kabbalas al Malchus Shemayim. We accept Hashem as our king. We'll discuss that more later on as well. Now, this explains why, by the way, in Shachris and in Mariv, after saying Shema, we actually quote Psukim from Shiras Hayam. Did you ever notice that? In Shachris, after Shema, we quote Psukim about Hashem Yimoch Le'olam Voed, Mi Kamocha, right? We quote those Psukim. Why are we invoking verses of Kriyas Yamsuf after we say Shema? The answer is clear, because what is Shema about? Kabbalas Ol Malchus Shemayim, that we accept Hashem as King. So we speak about Psukim, that Hashem Yimoch Le'olam Voed, Mi Kamocha, how great is Hashem. That's why we bring those Psukim and that time. Okay, let's jump in now to the first. Those are introductory Psukim. Let's jump into category number one. Again, to remind us, section one is about that Hashem is the reality. Hashem is the most powerful. That's the first praise of Shiras Hayam. Hashem ish milchama, Hashem ishmo. Hashem is the man of war, and God is his name. And Hashem, Yukevavke, is his name. This is not necessarily integral for our discussion, but it happens to be there was a famous racing horse, and the racing horse, the name of the horse was Man of War. It's a quote, it's from Shiras Hayam, that it's a reflection of Hashem. Hashem is Ish Milchama. It's a sign of power. And that's the introductory theme of the Metzias, the reality of Hashem. It is the discussion of how Hashem runs the world according to his will. When the Mitzrim thought they were going to stop the Gula, we're not going to let B'nai Yisrael go. We're in charge. We're the most powerful nation in the world. So Hashem, Ish Milchama, says Hashem, ooh, wait, who's in charge here? I'm in charge. I'm Ish Milchama. I am the most powerful being in the world. Markavos paro b'chelo yor v'yam, u'mivchar shalishav tibu b'yamsuf. The chariots of Paro and his soldiers he threw into the sea, the best of his officers, they drowned in the Yamsuf. And these were actually mentioned earlier in Shmos in the previous parak. And the pasuk describes the appearance of Ish Milchama who fought the Mitzrim and did what he wanted, and he foiled their plot. He drowned their chariots and he destroyed them, again showing the power that Hashem is in control. And then finally, Tehomos Yichasumu, Yardu Bimsolos Kmo Aven. Taho means the depths. They were brought down into the depths, and they went down b'metzulos into the lower parts of the sea, kamo evan, like a rock, meaning they sunk to the ground to the bottom of the ocean like a stone. And that concluding pasuk describes the end of the fight, meaning now it's kind of like, you know, like in a boxing match, like the winner gives one powerful punch, right, and the opponent falls to the mat. So that's what it was like. This is the end. That's really the end. Hashem drowns on the bottom, and they fall down to the ground. The water covered them. They were gone forever. And this is something that's repeated again. That's kind of like showing that Hashem gave them a knockout punch. So that is section number one. Again, describing what? The power of Hashem, the reality of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Hashem can stop our enemies in their tracks whenever He wants. Good? Okay. Let's go on. This is now section two. Yemincha Hashem nedariba koach, Yemincha Hashem tiratzag oyev. So we have to do a little bit of translating here because these are not the easiest psukim. That Yemincha Hashem nedariba koach, your right hand God is awesome in power. Yemincha Hashem tiratz oyev, that your right hand crushes the oyev, our enemy. And this begins the second section of the Shira, again, the revenge of Hashem against his enemies. And again, this is aziv zimraska, the power of HaKadosh Baruch Hu to bring revenge. Then we say in the next pasuk, Uvarov gaoncha taharos kamecha, tishalach charoncha yochaleimu kakash. So, in your great majesty, Barov gaoncha, in your great majesty, taharos kamecha, you broke your opponents. Tishalach charoncha, you sent your wrath. Rashi in there in the pasuk says that charon is always a language of burning fire, of anger. Yochaleimu kakash. You devoured them like straw. You brought revenge against the Egyptians. Rashi brings a drasha that the Egyptians were tossed around like straw in the water. Now the pasuk pshat is they burnt up like straw. Just like if I put a match to straw. How long does it take for the straw to burn up? Seconds, right? Very quickly. It'll go, the flame will move very quickly. That's what the Egyptians, they were consumed so quickly. But Rashi's deeper level is that they were like straw. What happens when you put straw in water? What happens? It gets tossed around. It doesn't sink to the bottom, right? It just like moves around. The Medrash says that there are different Egyptians, depending on how bad they were, got different levels of punishments in the sea. Some, if you weren't so bad, your death was quick. You were like a rock. You went straight to the bottom. You didn't have to suffer. If you were a bit of a Russia, you were like straw. You kind of got like mushed around in the chalent. And you got suffered until you had a grisly death. That's the truth. You had a grisly death, and for being such a terrible Russia. Okay, then we say, Uvaruach apecha nermumayim. At the blast of what's your af? Your nose. That means like your nostrils. Like when a person is angry, their nostrils like they flare. They breathe heavily out of their nose. So the blast from your nose, nermumayim. The waters towered. The waters of the sea went up to create a wall, right? Nitzvu kmoneid nozlim. And the flowing waters, that which was nozel, like a cold is a nozelus, right? That which was flowing, it was nitzab, it was standing like a wall. Kafu tahomos belevyam. And the depths, the tahomos, they congealed in the heart of the sea. At first, the water stood frozen. And that led the Egyptians to think what? What did the Egyptians think they could do?
Walk over.
They could get in, right? They thought, ooh, the water's frozen. We can go in. There's a wall. It's safe for us to go. But what was Hashem really doing?
He was drawing them in.
He was luring them into the sea. And then the water covered them. In fact, if you look at the word, it says, Uvaruach apecha ne'armu mayim, right? The blast of your nose, the ne'armumayim, the water stood as a tower. So the Targum says the word ne'armu is related to the word harama. Harama means trickery, meaning Hashem, you tricked the Egyptians by bringing them into the water to think that it's safe. All part of your revenge. Amar oyev erdof asig aleich shalal tzalian avshi arvicharbi toshim yadi. Amar oyev, the enemy said, I will give chase. Asig, I will overtake them. Achaleik shalal, I'm going to divide the spoils of war. Timil emu nafshi, I'm going to satisfy myself. Malim, I'm going to fill myself up. Arik charbi, I'm going to draw my sword. Toshem Yadia, my hand is going to demolish them, right? The Egyptians were so confident that they were going to destroy Bnei Yisrael. Neshafta bruchachaka samuyam. You made the wind blow. Saluka feres b'mayim adrim. And the sea covered them, and they sank like lead in the mighty waters, right? Saluka feres. They sank like lead b'mayim adrim in the water that is very mighty. And the psukim describe again, like we said, that Hashem's power destroyed the enemy. So this is the end of section 2. What's section 2? The revenge against our enemies. Those who come to destroy us, those who come to harm us, Hashem will eventually bring revenge and make them suffer. Good. Let's move on now to section 3 in the Shir HaSayam. Mi chamo chabalim Hashem. Now this section is going to begin describing the exalted nature of Hashem and His Kedusha. Who is great like Hashem? Who is as powerful as Hashem? Mi kamocha nedar bakodesh. Who is like you? Who is awesome in your holiness? Nora sehilos osafela. You are Nora. You are awesome in your praise, and you do wonders. Okay? So this is beginning to describe Hashem as the Melech, Hashem and His Kedusha. So I didn't bring it for you over here, but there's a Mechilta. The Medrash says on this Pasuk. Good? The Medrash says on this Pasuk. Mi chamocha Hashem. Who is as great as Hashem? When Kavan Shiro Yisrael, Shavad Paro V'chel V'yamsof, when they saw the Egyptians destroyed in the sea, Ubatla Malchus and Shil Mitzrayim, and the Malchus, the kingship of Egypt, was done, V'nasu Shvatim Bavodah Zara Shalem, and he destroyed their Vodah Zara, Paschu Piyam V'arm, and they said, Mikamachu Mashem, meaning, even the Medrash says, this is now introducing the last part of the Shira. This is now after Bnei Yisrael have seen Hashem take revenge, and seen the power of Hashem. At the end of Shir HaSayam, the third section, now Bnei Yisrael is saying, oh my gosh, Hashem is incredible. He's so powerful. He's amazing. Who is like him? And we're going to accept Hashem as our Melech and be Makava Ol Malchus Shemayim. Rashi says, Nora Sehilos means that you are so incredible that people are afraid. There is Yira to have praises about you. What's the problem? Why am I so in awe of Hashem that I'm afraid to praise him? Why?
Because so powerful.
What might I not do?
You might not praise him.
I might not praise him enough, right? You might not praise him enough. It's going to be silly, right? You know, Kielu, you know, you have a, I imagine that LeBron James is still considered to be the best basketball player in the world. Michael Jordan still? That's like from when I was a child. Let's just pick who's the best at something in the world?
LeBron James is a good example.
Novak Djokovic. Okay. So if you go over to Novak Djokovic and you say to him, oh my gosh, you are so good at hitting that tennis ball over the net. You're just so good at it. So is that praising him?
No, that's
insulting. Like, duh, of course that's what he can do. He is the best tennis player in the world. That's not a praise. So Hashem is infinitely way beyond our imagination, what we could possibly comprehend. Hashem, you're so strong. Hashem, you're so good. It's like you telling your mother, like, oh, mom, you're so good at tying shoes. Oh, thanks so much. You're so good at tying my shoes. She can do it more than that. Like, she's more capable than that. So the Nora Sehilos means, we praise you, Hashem, but like, we're never going to even begin to scratch the surface of what we could possibly say about what HaKadosh Baruch Hu does for us. And it's way beyond us, and it causes us to tremble. Now, this is not really our main focus. I just want to point out an important statement of Chazal. It's certainly relevant to the times that we live in. Chazal say, Mi chamocha be'ilim Hashem. In Hebrew, someone who is mute, who can't talk, is an ilim. That's what a mute is, an ilim. So, Mi chamocha be'ilim Hashem. They make a drasha. Who is like you, Hashem, who is mute? What does that mean? So the Gemara says that Hashem, often you show your power in restraining, in not wiping our enemies right away. But Hashem restrains His anger against certain people, allowing a chance to do tshuva, or allowing them a chance to think that they are in charge.
What was the word?
Elim means strong, but it can mean elim can also mean mute. That Hashem sometimes is silent, He doesn't say anything. That He withholds His power to allow people to make their own free choice. Okay, let's go on to the next pasuk. Natisa yemincha tivla'emu aretz. So Netisei Mincha, you put forth your right hand, and Tivleimo Aretz, the earth swallowed them up. That's a form. Why? Again, this section is about what? Not the revenge on Mitzrayim, it's about what? Hashem the Melech, right? That's what this section is about. So why are we praising Hashem here for swallowing the Egyptians in the ground if we're talking about Hashem's Malchus? So I'll tell you, the reason is because it's a form of security for Bnei Yisrael. When we saw that our enemies were utterly gone and we did not have to face them ever again, that makes us feel safe, right? Anyone, any human who's ever been in a, whoever has been abused or been attacked, when you see the person who hurt you, even if they're on the other side of the street, they can be far, far away. A person feels upset. A person feels stressed out because that person was an abuser to them. So when Hashem showed Bnei Yisrael that the Egyptians were gone for good, how did that make Bnei Yisrael feel? How did it make them feel? Safe. They felt safe. And that's the role of a king. What's the job of the Melech? The Melech is supposed to provide security. The Melech is supposed to make us feel safe and to bring safety to the streets and our homes. So that is actually a sign, not of Hashem's revenge, so to speak, but it's really a sign of Hashem being the Melech and taking care of his people. Nechisa b'chaslecha. Now, I'm very convinced that there's probably it's probably poetic, that the previous pasuk begins Natisa and this pasuk begins Nechisa. I don't know why, but I think it's poetic on purpose. I'm not sure what the meaning is, but so we'll just leave it at that. Nechisa b'chaslecha amzuga alza. With love, you led the people, you redeemed. Nehelta b'zecha al nevekat shecha. And with might, you brought them to your holy nave, your holy abode, your home, the Beis HaMikdash. And that pasuk reflects also the theme of this section. The interaction of Hashem with Am Yisrael is the Melech. What does the Melech do for us? He brings us to Eretz Yisrael. Hashem leads us with safety. He brings us to Eretz Yisrael. He brings us to the Beis HaMikdash, all as the Melech HaOlam and the protector of the Jewish people. Then, Shamu Amim Yirgazun, Chel Achaz Yoshei Kolashas. We'll just do these three psukim together. The nations heard and shuddered. Terror gripped those who dwelt in Philistia, not Palestinians. They did not exist yet, or for the next 3,000 years. Then, Az Nevalu Alufei Edom, the Edom's chiefs, they panicked. Ele Moab and Moab's heroes, Yochazemu Ra'ad, they were seized with trembling. And Namogu Kol Yishvei Kanan, and the residents of Canaan, they melted away. When they heard about the power, the awesomeness of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the whole nations of the world began to tremble. Tipol Aleihem Emasav Afachad, Bigdol Zeruacha Yidmu Ka'aven. Fear and dread fell upon them at the greatness of your arm, and they stood still like a stone. Ad Yavor Amcha Hashem, until your people crossed. Ad Yavor Amzu Kanisa, crossed Hashem, until the people you gained, that you were Kona, you acquired, crossed over until they came to Eretz Yisrael. The nature of the leadership of Hashem with Bnei Yisrael, which is revealed at Kriyas Yamsuf, is to be freed from their oppressors. That's what it means. If Hashem is the Melech, no one else is in charge of us. Nobody oppresses us, nobody tells us what to do, only a Kadosh Baruch Hu. It's the form of fear falling on the nations, and HaKadosh Bnei Yisrael is led to safety without the fear that no one's going to try to attack us. Because Hashem is Melech HaOlam, and Hashem is going to protect us from our enemies. Finally, Tivi'emo, V'sito'emo, V'har Nachoscha, bring them and plant them on the mountain that is yours. Mechon L'shivtecha pa'altza Hashem, you, the place you dwell in is the accomplishment, the actions of Hashem. Mikdash Hashem Konru Yadecha, the Mikdash of Hashem, your hands have founded. Hashem made them the Beis HaMikdash. So they come to Eretz Yisrael, and they'll build the Beis HaMikdash. The pinnacle of Hashem leading Bnei Yisrael, the pinnacle of Hashem being the Melech, is the completion of the Beis HaMikdash. And that's the end of the story, right? This is the journey. Bnei Yisrael crossed the sea, he brings us to Eretz Yisrael, our enemies fall before us, and the Beis HaMikdash is rebuilt. In fact, if you look at the Targum Onkelos on the famous words of Zeh, Keli Vanveya, do you know what Zeh Keli Vanveya means? This is my God and I will glorify him. That's actually the source in the Torah for the concept of Hidur Mitzvah, beautifying a mitzvah. It comes from that pasuk. Zekeli, this is my God, v'anveyu, and I will glorify him. We take the mitzvahs of Hashem, we make them beautiful. But the Targum says on this pasuk, v'avnei le mikdasha, and I will build the base hamikdash. And that's really what it's all about, that we'll come to build the base of Hamikdash. Now, we're just going to pull this all together in a moment to make a few comments. Interestingly, I don't know what this means. This is just something I noticed. The way we broke up the Shira into sections, right? We broke it into sections 1, 2, and 3. If you look carefully, section 1 has three psukim: Hashem Yishmelchama, Makavos Paro, and Tamos Yechasumo. Section 2 has five psukim: Yimincha Hashem Eliva Kalach, followed by Uvarov Goncha, followed by Vuruach Apecha, followed by Amar Oyev, followed by Neshavta Ruchacha, those five psukim. And finally, I'm not going to count it again, but the third section we just concluded has seven psukim. There's one other area that I know of in the Torah that has things broken up into 3, 5, and 7, and that is, anybody know? Birchas Kohanim. Birchas Kohanim is 3 words, 5 words, 7 words. Yibrachacha Hashem v'yishmeracha, Yer Hashem v'na melecha v'chunaka, Yisa Hashem v'na melecha v'chim v'chim shalom, is 3, 5, and 7. Do I know why that's significant? I don't know. I just happened to notice that that pattern. I don't know what to do with that, but just a pattern that I noticed as well. Okay.
I was ready to
play. Yeah.
No. It's just that's it. Thing. I have nothing mystical to say. It's just something I noticed. If everybody has a ha'ar, I'm happy to hear it. Then the concluding.
It's a segula.
Maybe.
Probably.
So the conclusion is Hashem Yimloch. And in your sitters, it says Hashem Yimloch L'Amvad. Hashem Yimloch L'Amvad says it twice. We'll talk next time about the conclusion. But that's really the end of Shira Sayyam. Hashem Yimloch L'Amvad is the last word of the Shira.
What about that
one? You want to know about Hashem. Okay, so that's not Shira Sayyam. That's
really?
It's, so we're going to.
I shouldn't just stop saying it.
We're going to discuss it next time. But tonight we're just going to discuss the Shira itself. We'll talk about the rest of that Parsha next time. So let's say it again. I just want to point a number of threes that also happen to repeat this theme of that Hashem is in control, Hashem brings revenge, and then Hashem is our king. In Davening, we refer to Hashem as Hakel, Hagadol, Hagibor, Vahanora, right? Those are the three descriptive terms that we have in Shemoneh Esrei, right? So Gadol is that Hashem is Ish Milchama, that Hashem is, you know, this powerful, reality that cannot be stopped. Gibor is, right, is the Hashem's power. He's a soldier. He brings nekama, he brings revenge on our enemies. And finally, Nora, right? We said before that Hashem is Nedar B'Kodesh, Nora Sinilos, that Hashem is way, way beyond us. He's Melech HaOlam. He's this powerful being way, way beyond us. So I'm just pointing out that this theme of Hashem being the most powerful reality, Hashem brings, you know, revenge, and that Hashem is our Melech, repeats itself in the words Hakel, Hagadol, Hagibor, Vanora. In addition, the Zohar says that Avram represents Gedula, Yitzchak represents Gvura, and Yaakov represents the idea of Nora, that Hashem is the awe. Avram is Gedula, that's Midas HaChesed, that's the idea that Hashem, you know, protects us, that Hashem is number one, first category, number one. Yitzchak Avinu is Midas HaDin, strict judgment, that Hashem brings revenge on our enemies. And Yaakov Avinu is Nora. Right? What does Yaakov famously say in the Torah when he goes to sleep on Har Moriah? He says, Ma Nora Hamakom Hazeh. How awesome is this place? Which is just like the theme of the third section of Azashir. And in fact, the opening brachos of Shemoneh Esrei, we find this again. The first brach of Shemoneh Esrei, brach of Avos, corresponds to who?
Avram,
right? Magain Avraham. What's the second bracha of Shemoneh Esrei? What?
Yitzchak.
Why?
Because he was like
brought back to life. Good. Tchias Amesim, right? He's Gvura, right? Midas Adin, right?
Yitzchak was brought back to life.
On the Akedah, the Medrash says the Neshama left his body, and then it came
That's
back.
Right.
He said that he
told him
this is
Jerobaam,
and he said,
oh, thanks.
Okay. So that's the...
why is the first one Avram? Just because
it's Magen Avram. That he concludes the whole bracha is based on Avram Avinu. The power of all the others comes from Avram Avinu. The second bracha is Gvuros, that talks about the power, the Gvura of Hashem. And we talk about Tchias HaMesim 5 times in that bracha. And that's Yitzchak Avinu, who experienced Tchias HaMesim. And according to the Medrash, when the neshama came back into his body, he said bracha Hashem mechaya mesig. He said that bracha. That corresponds to him.
He said it.
Yeah, that's what the Medrash says. And then the last one is kedushas Hashem, the holiness of Hashem, is Yaakovin again. Manora hamakom hazeh, how awesome, holy is this place. And Yaakovinu said these things as well. So, does this mean anything in particular? No, but I just want to point out that these themes repeat themselves. And you have a theme that finds itself again and again in the Avos, in Davening, in Shiras Hayam. It means that these are foundational ideas that every Jew should be aware of. But no, these are things that we should be thinking about, contemplating about in our Davening, and in our Avodas Hashem.
Is that key though?